Well, hearts, this is Challenge, and today I'm going to take you to a message I taught right here at our ministry facility in Jacksonville. But before I get there, I want to do this. I want to go before the throne of God in prayer. But before I go before the throne of God in prayer, I want to bring you up to speed on a couple of things that I want you to be praying with me for the kingdom of God and about the kingdom of God. The Word of God tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then Paul, speaking to the church at Thessalonica, says to them in verse 5, "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? For years in ministry, I never really positionalized on the rapture. I listened to the pre-trib rapture, I listened to the mid-trib rapture, and none of it really gelled with me. It just didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand how God could punish and God could allow the saints of old and the early church and those in the early church and those in much of the church today to go through what they went through or go through what they're going through and allow us, the church here in the United States of America in this modern day, miss all that. I couldn't understand it. It took me years, really, thinking about it, praying about it, studying, and I finally positionalized. And I positionalized on the pre-wrath rapture, meaning this, that just before the wrath of God falls, the church is going to be raptured. But then that puts us here during the formation of a one-world order. That puts us here, the church, when I say us, the church, under the authority of the Antichrist. Yes, there is going to be a world leader known as the Antichrist. He hates God. He hates Christ. He hates Christians. And Christians are going to suffer. Now, we have Christians suffering today under a spirit of Antichrist, but not the worldwide spirit of Antichrist. In many nations of the world today, Christians are suffering. And some have suffered by giving up their lives. Others have been tortured. But yes, Christians have suffered, all because of the spirit of Antichrist. But eventually, there will be that individual on the world stage known as the Antichrist that we read about in Revelation chapter 13. So I finally had to settle with a pre-wrath rapture, that just before the wrath of God falls, the church is raptured. Now, we're watching bits and pieces being put into place today. And I want you to understand that we, the people of God, we are the only thing standing, the only one standing in the gap between the Antichrist and the persecution that he's going to inflict upon the church. Now, I want to take you to a verse of Scripture to encourage you to pray with me. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've heard this so many times, but has it really resonated with our spirits? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Understand this, people of God. I have no books to sell. I've got no CDs to sell. I'm just a preacher. And I'm just simply trying to get the people of God to understand that we're at risk, that we are at risk, that the church is at risk. And in many nations of the world, The church understands they're at risk because they're under oppression and they're being persecuted. I want you to join me daily, day by day, praying, asking for a move of God in this nation. I want to see the strongholds of sodomy destroyed in this nation. I want to see the community of sodomites. I want to see this Holy Spirit of God penetrate the darkness and the deception of the community of the sodomites, the homosexuals. I want to see the Spirit of God penetrate the deception and the darkness of the transgender community. I want to see the Spirit of God penetrate the darkness and the deception of so much in this nation that is anti-Christ, that is not of God, it is of Satan. We, the church, for the most part, have failed. It is that simple. We, the church, the believer priest of this day, for the most part, we have failed. We have failed to advance the kingdom of God, and may I suggest to you that unless we, the people of God, understand the signs of the times in which we're living and give ourselves to repentance and intercessory prayer, we are going to reap the suffering attendant to what we have become, what we have allowed. So I want you to join with me as I pray on behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation. I don't want to reap that which the spirit of Antichrist will bring as it comes into power in the nations of the world. I don't want to see that happen. And I know the only one who can stop that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the church, those purchased by the blood of Christ, those who have been born again, we are the priest of God in this day. We are the ones who have access to the throne of God. We have to be salt. We have to be light. We have to be the ambassadors for Christ. We have to be the believer priesthood. And I want you to be a part of that. And I want you to join me day by day by day praying against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan in this nation and the nations of the world, and asking God to advance the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of approaching your throne. I thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses from our sins. I thank you for those involved in this radio congregation who are members of the body of Christ. They're born again. They're believer priests. And Father God, we come before your throne as the body of Christ, as believer priests on behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation and the nation of the world. And in the name of Jesus, we are asking you to stir the hearts of your people to fervency, to repentance, and to intercessory prayer. We're asking you, Father God, to put in office in this nation that individual that you can use most effectively against the kingdom of Antichrist and the kingdom of darkness. Father, we're asking you in this next presidential election to place in office in this nation that individual that you can use most effectively against the kingdom of darkness and against the spirit of Antichrist. And Father, we ask you to stir the hearts of your people. Stir the hearts of your people to repentance, to holiness, and to intercessory prayer. And Father, penetrate the darkness and the deception of every false system of religion, and bring those out of that false system of religion whom you have known before the foundation world to be of the elect, knowing that at some point in time they would come to a knowledge of the truth, receive Christ as their Savior, and be born again. We're asking you to penetrate the darkness of religions that are subservient to the enemy of the cross and bring out of those expressions of religious activity those who are truly going to be born again, receive the Holy Spirit of God, be indwelt by the Spirit of God as a result of having received Christ as a Savior, be born again and seated at the right hand of God the Father with the rest of us in intercessory prayer. So, Father, we ask you to hear the prayer, answer the prayer, be glorified in answering the prayer, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Now, let's go to the message that I preached Sunday morning at our ministry center in Jacksonville. Be blessed as you listen. The recording is really not up to standard. We had some problems with the system, but nonetheless, here it is as was presented then. Be blessed as you listen. To Romans chapter 8 again. But before we get into the text in the scriptures for today. I want to bring a couple of things before you. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I keep looking at that verse, and I don't want to do damage to it, but I like to kind of separate just a little bit. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Pause. To them who are the called according to His purpose. The called according to His purpose. Then verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. When you take that as far as it will go, when you understand it based on the scriptures I've just read, you have to understand that God has never learned anything new. Nothing you ever did, nothing you ever said, caught God by surprise. Everybody sitting in here this morning can look back across your life and say, I wish I had not been that. I wish I had not done that. I wish I had not said that. I wish I had not been a part of that. Nothing you ever said caught God by surprise. Nothing you ever did caught God by surprise. No place you ever went caught God by surprise. He's omniscient, omnipotent. He has known you from eternity past. If you're born again, He knew before He ever put the world in place, the cosmos in place. He knew among all those who would be born of man, who would be born again and who would not be born again. And He set in motion a plan whereby they could be born again. Now the Word of God tells us that any and all are available for salvation. God is no respecter of persons. We know that any and everyone can be saved, who is willing to be saved, who wants to be saved, and who is willing to be saved. But not all will be. We know that. But for those of us who are of the elect, and who are of the elect are those that God knew before the foundation of the world would choose to be chosen. He doesn't violate your free will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the fact that He knew who would be and who would not be does not take away from the fact that He is God. He has total knowledge. Never been surprised by anything. You see, once you start dealing with this, and you go back into eternity past before there was a universe as we know it today, formed as it is today. Before there was an earth, before there were the variety of forms of life on earth that we see today, all knowledge, omniscience, was there. He knew the date of your birth before the creation of the world. Chose your bloodline, chose the date of your birth, the place of your birth, the time of your birth. He knew all that. Once you start dealing with the sovereignty of God, and you take the sovereignty of God as far as He Himself takes it, you have a better understanding and appreciation of what He's done for you. As we come through this morning, now we know that all things work together for good to those who are the called the called. We know that all things work together for good for those who are the called before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he knew each and every one of us. Now, the Word tells us that God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Now, the kingdom of God is full of ex-whosoevers. There's a lot of ex-whosoever sitting in here this morning. We all look back across our life and say, I wish I hadn't said that, wish I hadn't been there, wish I hadn't done that, wish I hadn't been a part of that, but we were. So as we come through this morning, I want you to understand that you have an intercessor in glory. Christ Jesus has been interceding for you from the moment you were born, perhaps even before you were born. He knows everything that ever touched your life. He knows everything that ever wounded you. He knows everything that ever bruised you. He knows the sins of your ancestral bloodline. He visits the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Numbers verse chapter 14 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 9. The Word of God says that he knew the sins of the fathers. He knew everything was going to touch our lives. He knew everything that was going to touch our lives. He knew everything that would go into forming us and making us what we are. He knew the sins in the bloodline. He knew the physical as well as the spiritual, physical infirmities. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is continuing to speak to these saints. We've been in Romans 8 now for three or four Sundays. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 33 through 39. But he's speaking to those in his day as well as to those of us in our day. The Word of God speaks to every generation. And you have to understand that you have never said or did anything that God did not know you were going to say or do before you said or did it. And still loved you. And still loved you in spite of what you said and what you did and where you went. We're going to start with Romans 8:33 this morning. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God's elect? Why would God choose you? Why would God choose me? But there it is. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now another translation reads it this way. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? You didn't choose God. God chose you. Now you won't understand the fullness of that till you get to glory. But once again, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. It is in and through God that we're given right standing with himself. Now, the Word of God says in the King James Version, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Understand this, the charge will be made. The charge will be made. Satan will accuse you to you, accuse others to you, accuse you to yourself. The charge is going to be made. You have to understand this. Every charge that Satan can bring against you has been already put to death in Christ Jesus. So that when Satan brings the charge, and he has access to the throne of God, the Word of God teaches us that. When Satan brings a charge against you, think of it like this. I've said this before, but I want you to really get this now. Satan comes in to the presence of God and says, do you know what so-and-so did? You see so-and-so? He said that. He did that. He's involved in that. He's involved in that. And many times that charge is correct. We're guilty of much that Satan accuses us of. But the difference is, pictured like this. Jesus reaches over, lays his hand on the knee of the Father and says, I paid for that. Understand this, every sin that you ever sinned was placed on Jesus Christ on the cross. Every sin that you have ever sinned was put to death in Jesus Christ on the cross. So much of the church, if the rapture were to occur today, you'd be surprised how much of the organization known as the church would still be here. If the rapture occurred in the next 30 minutes, which is not going to, you say, wait a minute, that's kind of a bold statement. No, no, no. You just have to have a better understanding of eschatology. You need to understand the end times. And I'm here to say to you this morning, unmistakably, that the church will face the Antichrist. I am here to say to you that the church will come under the oppression of the Antichrist. And once you go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, and the verses leading up to that, you cannot escape that conclusion. So once you understand that God has known before, I'm trying to impress upon you this morning the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, that before he ever created anything or everyone, he knew of all who he was going to create and give life to. He knew who would and who would not receive him as their heavenly Father, who would be born again. So your name, you who have been born again, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when you die, one split second after you die, even quicker than that, you're in glory. You're in glory. So come along with me now. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying, I just got through saying you charges are going to be made against you. The enemy is consistently, constantly going to bring charges against you. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There it is in the Word of God. The accuser of the brethren. Who? Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren. How often does he accuse you day and night? He is constantly, constantly, constantly bringing accusations against you to the Lord God Almighty. And sometimes he does that with validity. There are things he can bring to the mind of the Lord that he's valid. Yes, we're wrong. We said things we shouldn't have said. We did things we shouldn't have did. We were part of things we shouldn't have been a part of. Yes, many times he's right, but that will not stop, if you will. That will not accomplish what he intended. He intended to turn God against us. That is what he's always trying to sow discord. He's always trying to sow disruption. He is always accusing you to me and me to you. He's accusing God to us and us to God. That is what he does all the time. But every time he goes before the throne of God, you see what he just did. You know what he's thinking. You know what he's like. You know how he responded. You know how he reacted. You can almost see Jesus reaching over, laying his hand on the Father's knee, if we can put it in that way, saying, I paid for that. I paid for that. We knew that sin was coming before the foundation of the world, and I paid for that sin. Romans 8:34. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Satan himself cannot bring a charge against you that will stick. Satan cannot bring a charge against you that will stick. Why? Because Christ Jesus paid the sin debt. I look back across my life, and you do the same thing, and you say, I would to God I had not been that kind of person. I wish I had not, and I've said this so many times, I had not gone there, said that, done that, been a part of that, but we were a part of that. And the amazing thing to me is that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. But Christ Jesus paid the sin debt. He paid the debt for every sin you were ever going to sin, because God knew before the foundation of the world what sins you were going to sin. And sure enough, you sinned them. He's never learned anything new. Jesus was condemned so that we as believers would not be condemned. He suffered my condemnation. I deserved condemnation. But Christ Jesus took upon himself my condemnation. If you've been born again, he took upon himself your condemnation. You know, you start looking at this and you think, death's not really all that bad. Death really isn't all that. We struggle and we strain. Just, you know, oh, I got a little pain here and a pain. I better run over here. Better take this. Death isn't all that bad. Once you realize that once the heart beats the last time, by the time it gets through the last beat, you're in glory. There's no more disappointment, no more discouragement, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more sickness, no more disease, no more doctor's appointments, none of that. Some of you don't like this. But I just had a birthday, as you well know. I know you know I had a birthday. 89 years old. One breath from 90. And the only pain I really ever have is when I've been sitting too long, the lumbar, because 4 or 5 years ago, I was going to prove to Brother Gene and all the rest of the guys, I'm just as much a man now as ever I was. And so I'm carrying things and pulling things and tugging things and carrying things, moving up here. And then I found out that I really wasn't the man I thought I was, that I had this back problem back here. So if I've been sitting too long, when I first stand up, the first few steps I take, but once I've got up and walk around some, I'm okay. But I'm 89 years old, and I live a pain-free life. Praise God. What I'm saying to you is that God, in his love, mercy, grace, omniscience, he knows his own. He takes care of his own. And I'm convinced there's people sitting in here this morning. Oh, Father, help us. I'm convinced people are sitting here this morning suffering in a way you really don't have to suffer. This is not a name and claim it. It's not a name and claim it. It is a believe it and receive it. Now, did you hear what I got through saying? This man right here, this man needs a touch from God. But I'll promise you, every time I start tracking it, I'm going to find it in the bloodline. And sometimes it'll misgender that generation or this generation. Sometimes, I tell you, I've been here long enough, I've dealt with enough problems, I've interviewed enough people, I know what I'm talking about. Plus, it's in the Scripture. So this man needs a touch from God. She needs a touch from God. There are others in here this morning that need a touch from God. What I want you to do this morning is say, well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he doesn't favor one over another. He just loves us all together. Now, you got to come to this. You have to come to this. I don't know what was in your bloodline. You don't know what was in my bloodline. I know enough about my bloodline, it puts me on notice. It puts me on notice. Now, I'm not talking about just in the physical realm. Now, my mother and my mother's family, great people. My dad, and some of you know what I'm talking about. So when I say my dad, it finally got all turned around. Things got turned around. But the point I'm making is this. There are things in the bloodline that you are up against every day of the world. It's in the spirit realm. And once you understand this, and God is having to allow some things in our lives to conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's determined to make us Christ-like one way or the other. But sometimes we put up with a lot we don't have to put up with because we simply not aware of who we really are in Christ Jesus, who he is. I can't take any credit for living a pain-free life, except for when I stand up. If I've been sitting stand up, I got back pain, lumbar, Mr. Chiropractor, right there in the lumbar. I can't take any credit for it. God is just good. But I do this. I feed my soul the Word of God. I feed my soul the Word of God. I spend time in the presence of God. I pray. I talk to Him. I'm in relationship with Him. I'm in an ongoing relationship with Him. And as far as I'm concerned, this has nothing to do with me. I'm talking about the goodness of God. If you're a child of God, you've been adopted by God. Amen. You've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And some of you say, now wait a minute, I think you're going off the deep end here. No, I'm not going off the deep end. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Have you ever taken the time to just sit down and say, well, I'm going to examine everything in my life. I'm going to look at my attitudes, my reactions, my responses in life, and anything and everything in my life that is unchristlike, I'm going to call it what God calls it. I'm going to call it sin. I'm going to get it confessed up, and I'm going to take away all the legal ground that Satan has to attack me. Now, Job, we have some in Paul. Paul had a problem. Paul had some physical problems. We're not saying that Christians don't have physical problems. We're saying this, though. I'm going to sift it all through the will of God. I'm going to go before the throne of God, and I'm going to find out what is going on in my life. Am I wrong in some area? Have I missed you somewhere? Is this something I need to pray? Once I understand that Christ himself went to the cross and took upon himself everything, every sin I had ever committed, and that the power of God is available to me, O ye of little faith. You remember when they were trying to cast the unclean spirit out of the kid, and Jesus cast it out, and the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? He said, because of your unbelief. I'm saying to you this morning, all of us need a higher level of faith. We need a higher level of faith. And what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose by praying a thing? What have you got to lose by standing against it? What have you got to lose by going before the throne of God and saying, I want to go to war with this thing. I want your perfect will in my life. If you want me to suffer this, I will suffer this. If you're trying to correct something, let me know. I want to be corrected. But I want to walk in the fullness of everything I can be in Jesus Christ. Amen. What's wrong with that? Just I want to be everything I can be spiritually, emotionally, physically, in Christ Jesus. Come now with me further now. Once we start, first let's identify a believer. If I were to ask you, what is a believer, what would you say? Let's identify a believer. A believer, according to the Bible, exactly what is a believer? Satan himself has no doubt that God is. Satan has no doubt whatever God is. But understand this, as a believer is one who's been, we call it born again, has become a new creation in Christ Jesus, has acknowledged I'm a sinner, born with a sin nature, and as a sinner, I'm going to go before the throne of God, I'm going to confess I'm a sinner, and I'm going to ask Christ into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. That sounds so simple. And yet we're hesitant to go before the throne of God in confessing, I am a sinner, I have sinned, I am sinning, I have a sin nature, because we're all born with a sin nature. That cute little baby laying in the crib is just waiting to grow up to show you what it can become and what it can be. I was born with a sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. And if we have to understand that until Christ himself, until we receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that sin nature remains there. Now, once we're born again, we get a new creation. Nicodemus, that religious leader that came to Jesus, I think perhaps being born again is one of the least understood doctrines in the Bible, in the religious community. I really do. I think that there are religious movements who could not tell you if their life depended on what it meant to be born again. You know it. See, you've received it. You know what it means. But I'm saying to you that there are whole religious communities that cannot explain to you what it means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means you recognize you're a sinner. You can't change yourself. This thing could go so deep now, and I'm trying to just keep it on a semi-surface level. But when you reach back in your bloodline, and you pull everything back in your bloodline that was there available to you when you were born, when you were conceived, when you realize the possibilities and the potential of that, and you don't like to think about that. You like to ignore that. I don't really want to evaluate that. I don't want to embrace that. I don't want to look at that. But the Word of God tells us, three different scriptures now, the sins of the fathers, the sins of the fathers, the sins of the fathers, the sins in the bloodline. And yet I dare say that you won't find 2 out of 10 that will ever take the time to say, now wait a minute, I'm going to go before the throne of God, and I'm going to take authority over everything that's gained access to me through the sins of my forefathers, and I'm going to take that before the throne of God, and I'm not only going to confess it as sin, I'm going to confess the sins I have sinned, that I know they sinned, and I'm going to stand against every unclean spirit that made its way into my bloodline. Amen. It's reality. It's reality. And sometimes the fight is prolonged. Sometimes the fight is prolonged. I look back across my life, and I think to myself, how in the world could I have ever embraced that ideology? How could I ever have been that? How could I ever have done that? The sins of the fathers. You have to understand the sins of the fathers. It stays in that generation and in that bloodline until somebody in that bloodline, I've taught you this 1,000 times, draws a line in the sand. But why am I covering it this morning? The Spirit of God is in my spirit, because I know there are people sitting here this morning. You're hurting. You're hurting emotionally. You're hurting mentally. You're hurting physically. And God wants to separate you from that. God wants to heal that. God wants to take care of that. And it's not a name it and claim it thing. It is a believe it and receive it. Receive it and believe it. Take the Word of God. If I were to ask you, and I'm not going to, so don't pop a sweat. If I were to ask you, how much time do you spend in the Word of God daily? What would you say? Well, I read a proverb. Sometimes I even read 2 Psalms and a proverb. What I'm getting at is the Word of God tells me that it is as I feed myself the Word of God, it strengthens me. It's even health to my body is what the Word of God says. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching what it says. But that's what it says. So what we're saying here is we don't rely on some religious system. Rely on the Word of God. We are a people of God. As a people of God, we're salt, we're light. We are representatives of God. We're soldiers. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Had it ever occurred to you that part of what you're coming through is God's way of conforming you to the image of Christ Jesus? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it ever occurred to you that part of what you are coming through is preparing you to be in a position to minister to someone else who's coming through what you're coming through now, that you will have a chance in the future to minister to? Once you've seen God move in your life, you've seen God deliver you, you've seen God free you, you've seen God heal you. I have had divine healing. I know what I'm talking about. I have had divine healing. When the doctor said it's going to take this, going to take that, I prayed, God took care of it. So I've walked it. I've lived it. And by the same token, I've had an attack where I ended up in the hospital, Satan trying to take me out. You know, just a little sore throat. Didn't think too much about it. Stayed home, and I prayed that day and just stayed kind of laying around. The deacons came down and prayed for me, and we finally decided I need to go to hospital. And I remember the guy taking the x-ray saying, get this thing right. His next swallow could be his last. And I'm sitting there saying, my next swallow could be my last. So, and I've told you this before, I wanted to make sure I had all my tithe caught up today. But I was searching my heart out, what if my next breath could be my last? I want to be right when I go into the presence of God. So I was trying to make sure everything was prayed up. But that's something we should go through every day, isn't it? Every day of the world, we should be ready for the last heartbeat. Amen. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Every day of the world, we should be ready for the last heartbeat. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is also even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Do you realize Jesus is making intercession for you? He knows what you're going through. He knows the testing. He knows the tempting. He knows the doubt. He knows the fear. He knows the unbelief. And he is praying for you. He's interceding for you. God the Father, Christ Jesus sitting right there in his resurrected body, ascended back into glory, seated at the right hand of God the Father, is interceding for you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what's in your bloodline. He knows what your ancestors went through. He knows the inroads that Satan got into your bloodline. He knows the attack you're under. He knows the battle you're under. He knows the weaknesses, and he's praying for you. And God always hears and answers his prayer. Why do you think, now, come on, why do you think the Word of God says in everything give thanks? In everything give thanks? Wait a minute, Lord. This is not very comfortable. I'm not real happy with this. I'm not real happy with that. And you're saying, in everything, give thanks. Well, are you going to obey him or not? Are you going to obey God, yes or no? He didn't say complain about everything. He didn't say gripe and groan about everything. He said, give thanks in everything. So you're saying, no, Bob, you're saying to me that when I got this pain right here, and I can't hardly walk, I'm supposed to say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this pain right here. No, I'm not saying that. God says that. God says in everything give thanks. You have to understand he's omniscient. Nothing has ever touched you that he didn't know before the foundation of the world was going to touch you. The further I go with this, and I'm kind of scattered this morning, I realize because I'm working so much into this, there's so much flowing in my spirit. I don't want you to have to come through some of the stuff I had to come through. I want you to receive the Word of God. I want you to believe the Word of God. I cannot impregnate you with what God has done in my life. All I can do is teach you from the Word of God. It's available to you. I got some unbelief in here. You will pay for the unbelief. Because you've got to take God at his word, yes or no. Am I going to believe God, yes or no? When he says in everything give thanks, do you mean to say to me, Bob, that when I am having this discomfort or that problem or this problem or facing this or facing that, I'm supposed to give him thanks? No, I didn't say that. He said that. Folks, hear me. Listen to me. I've lived this. I am living it. Nothing has ever touched your life that God didn't know about before it touched you. Nothing has ever touched you that God did not know about before it touched you. Now you've got to ask yourself, Father, is this of you? Is this of the enemy? Is this just because I'm a human being in a human body? What is it? And then you got to go before him. That's the way I've lived my life for years now. Yeah, I accept anything that comes from you. I reject everything that does not come from you. I just give you a whole message right there. Can you say to God, I will give you thanks, I will receive and accept anything and everything that comes from you, and I will give you thanksgiving for anything and everything that comes from you, but I resist everything that hell brings against me. That changes the whole approach. That changes the whole approach. We come back once again now to verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. I'm convinced of this. I promise you, if the rapture were to occur in the next 5 minutes, a lot of choirs would still be fully manned. A lot of pulpits would still be manned. There'd be a lot of people still sitting in church. If the rapture were to occur the next 5 minutes, you'd be surprised at what would be left in the church's meeting today. I'm becoming more and more sensitive to this and convinced of this the more I see where our nation is and where it's gone and what we have become. Once you understand, Christ resurrected from the dead, ascended into glory, see the right hand of God, interceding for you. Christ is interceding for you as an individual. He is taking you before the throne of the Father, and he's pleading for you, interceding for you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. He is going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. What you've got to do is simply stay in obedience to him. Who has any right to condemn us? No one has the right to condemn us because Christ went to the cross and paid for every sin I ever committed. Romans 8:1. Once again, going back to the very beginning of Romans, there is therefore, get this truth down, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you say to yourself right now, there's no condemnation in me? Say that to yourself right now. There's no condemnation in me. I'm not condemned. I've been born again. Adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. Friend, look, understand, most of the church, I'm convinced, does not understand the fullness of what this thing is. You, as a born-again individual, you're a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're loved by the creative power of this universe. You're loved by God. You're adopted into the family. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're eternally secure. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. You've been adopted into the family of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It will be activated, but it won't prosper. Amen. Most of the church simply does not understand this. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's saying nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let me read that in another version. Can anything ever separate us from Christ? Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. If it could, it would. But it can't. So it doesn't. You have to understand that. This is the Word of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And as I said, if it could, it would. But we suffer. We suffer. This life is full of problems and disappointments and discouragement and this pain and that pain. But the question is, how am I going to approach that? I want the Spirit of God to speak to you now. How am I going to approach? How am I going to approach this problem? How am I going to approach this condition? How am I going to approach this situation? Am I going to go into it in fear? Am I going to go into it complaining and murmuring and grumbling? Am I going to go into it receiving accusations against God the Father? In everything give thanks? Are you willing to say to God, no matter what you're going through, with tears streaming down your cheek if need be, you said, in everything give thanks. Father, I don't understand what I'm coming through. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this is happening to me. But Father God, I choose as an act of my will to obey you and to give you thanks. Because somehow, in all of this, through all of this, you are conforming me to the image of Christ Jesus. And whatever, listen, it's going to take different pressure in your life, to conform you to Christ than it does me. It's pressure, and the pressure will come in your life. And what I'm saying about these people is true of you. God knows where the pressure needs to be applied to conform you to the image of Christ. But he applies the pressure in love. Hear me. This can be a life-changing truth if you grasp it. He allows the pressure to come in love because he wants you to become increasingly more Christ-like. And sometimes we have to come through some stuff to burn out the dross. And sometimes he allows us to come through a thing so that he can prove himself faithful to us by bringing us through it and out of it. And when we come out the back side of it, we wouldn't go back and exchange of anything. Amen. Oh, my soul. 8:36. As the Scripture says, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. Now that's the reality in much of the world. much of the world, your Christianity can cost you your life, and that's going to increase in the nation of the world. That is going to become increasingly more so as we watch. I'm watching the bits and pieces right now. Even the changes to the Florida Constitution, the upper change right now, I am watching. You see, you have to get the whole thing. In that nation, this nation, that nation, there, over here, over there, as the bits and pieces are being changed a little bit here, a little bit there, it all is leading to a one world order. It is all because of a little concession here, a little concession there, a little grasping this, grasping that. It is all to a one world order. And that's going to become increasingly so. I'm 89 years old. I've seen a lot of change. I remember school when Keith Waddington was his name. I remember in grammar school, we got in the class, and the first thing we did was we took the Bible. And somebody read something out. One of the kids would read something out of the Bible. Then another kid would lead in prayer. And then the class would pray the Lord's Prayer together. Do that now. I have watched this nation. I have watched the value, the Christian values in this nation disintegrate. Why do you think we have so many Christian schools? Because the public education system went to hell. See exactly why. That is why we have so many Christian schools. Why did that happen? The church. I don't know. Well, I won't go there just now. The spirit of Antichrist is gaining more and more ascendancy, folks. Now, I'm not going into that anymore this morning. I'm just going to say this to you. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in the world today. And the spirit of Antichrist is gaining ascendancy in nations around the world today. Regardless of the process, we emerge victorious. Amen. Regardless of the process, we emerge victorious. For example, Romans 8:38. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. We come out victor. The last chapter, we win. Romans 8:38. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Nothing in this life, nothing out of hell, can separate you from the love of God. I don't care what happens in your life, nothing can separate you from the love of God. God loves you. Amen. Say, God loves me. Now believe that. Receive that. Nothing can separate a child of God from the love of God. Nothing can separate a child of God from the love of God. Romans 8:39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God in his omniscience knew who would believe and who would receive. Nobody ever caught God by surprise. And he made it all possible in and through Christ Jesus. Made it all possible through Christ Jesus. My needs are going to be met. I'm fixing to close this out. You can't stand much of it, and I can't either. Repeat after me. My needs are going to be met. Your needs are going to be met. What does the Word of God say? My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So your needs are going to be met. I told my wife, Sharon and I, many, many, many years ago, we were in a little one-bedroom apartment. How many square feet that thing have, baby? 800. We lived in an 800-square-foot apartment. 800 square feet. And I said to her last night, I said, you know, babe, we could go back there tomorrow and still be happy. Because, you see, my physiological surroundings does not depend. My faith, my love, my peace does not depend on things. is dependent upon Him. I know in my heart of hearts. You got the same thing. You got clothes hanging in your closet you never wear. You got more clothes than you need. You got more shoes than you need. You got more of everything than you need. Am I right or wrong? You got more of everything you need. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And for most of us, He has not only supplied our need, He supplied above and beyond our need. Say thank you, Lord. And then with my last breath, I'll be received into glory. When I take my last breath, I'll be received into glory. Read about a preacher. I'm going to close with this. He knew he was dying. He was at 90-something years old, knew he was dying. He said, get my kids in here, get my grandkids in here. So I want to see how a man of God dies. He wasn't afraid of death. You see, the believer can walk up to death and say, as I've told you this so many times, I know who you are. I know why you're here. I'm ready for you. I'm in Christ Jesus. And one split second after my last heartbeat, I'll be in glory. And the fight is over. The battles are. But until then, we're going to carry on the battle. Amen. We're going to get up every day of the world, put on the whole armor of God, and go out and face everything hell has to offer and walk victoriously because we trust in Christ, believe in Christ, and Christ Jesus is our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. And nothing out of hell can really come against us that He doesn't permit and allow. Amen. Stand up, close us with prayer.